I want to talk tonight about cultivating the culture of thankfulness. Cultivating the culture of thankfulness. And I actually believe that learning to be thankful in our world is one of the secrets of an energized supernatural mind. That when you learn the keys and the understanding of what thankfulness is meant to do, it's actually the key to you having a supernaturally energized mind. The less thankful you are, the more tired, anxious, and exhausted you will become. The more thankfulness you have, the greater the thankfulness in the culture of your heart and the way you live, both towards God and towards your spouse or family that you're part of, the greater the sense of life and vitality that you'll experience. It's fantastic. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, this is awesome already. It's all. Come on, mean it. Let's believe it. So 1 Thessalonians, beautiful verse. And again, Paul writing to the church, encouraging to build this culture of thankfulness. This is what he says. Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, you ready? Be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Mate. That's pretty simple. This is the will of God, that we learn to be thankful in the life and the journey that we have. And yet thankfulness is tough, because there is this innate human nature that wrestles with the desire to feel unsatisfied, as though I need more to actually be happy. That I need to be somewhere else. I need to be with someone else. I need to know something else. That same serpent that came to Adam in the garden and said, what you have right now is not enough. That temptation, that human desire, that brokenness within us that searches for stuff beyond what we actually really need and lures us into this false idea that who you are and what you have is never enough. And it robs us with this sense of thankfulness and gives us a spirit of entitlement, a spirit of anxiety, that always feels never satisfied, never able to be what it's meant to be. And so Paul, he's writing to the church, and he said, practice thanksgiving no matter what. Whatever happens, in the J.B. Phillips translation of the same verse, he says, be happy in your faith at all times. How many know sometimes that's tough? Be happy in your faith at all times. Never stop praying. Be thankful, whatever the circumstance may be. If you follow this advice, you will be working out the will of God expressed to you in Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. How many people want to know the will of God for their life? You're hungry to know the will of God. It's right there, baby, right there. Practice thanksgiving. And actually, if you practice that mindset and are supernaturally energized by heaven, you will find your way into the outworked, practical will that you're looking for. Whereas if you lose sight of that supernatural grace that comes through thanksgiving, you'll probably wander off the plan through discouragement or anxiety or fear. You'll probably wander off, because this keeps us like a guardrail focused on the things of God. I want to give three reasons tonight, three reasons that thankfulness helps us to thrive. Helps us to thrive in who we are and what we have, what God's design is. Three reasons. Number one, you ready? Number one, thankfulness keeps anxiety at bay. Yeah. Thankfulness is a weapon that deals with anxiety and depression. It's a weapon against it. It's a weapon in your heart and comes out of your mouth. And I've had to learn that I can be intentional with thanksgiving even when I don't feel like thanking anyone. I can choose to be thankful in that moment. I don't care what the circumstance. I'm going to thank God. That there's this great song called Vagabond. I don't know if you sing that song. Do you know that song, Vagabond, by anyone? Give me a wave if you know the song. Not many. Okay. Da-da. Met a man I didn't know. You know that song? He told me that I was not alone. Pick me up, turn me around. I thank God, don't. I thank God. That's, I don't know what the rest of the, all I know is, I thank God. It's like, bam. It just ends up in, I thank God. So just keep singing that over. It's like one of these modern songs. You don't have to think much. You just got to declare it. So thankfulness keeps anxiety at bay. It lifts us. This is amazing, some research here by Paul Wright, MD, Senior Vice President and the System Chair of Neuroscience Institute of Navarre Health in the USA. This is what he said from an online article in November 23. He said this: when you practice thankfulness, your brain will light up with joy and give you mental, physical and social health benefits. He'll give you mental, physical and social health benefits. And they call it like a positive brain override. In other words, when you build a culture of thankfulness into your heart and into your life, it actually creates this positive mental or positive brain override that even when things are negative, things are difficult, that thankfulness culture inside of you will help you continue to see that in a light that's resolvable to work through. It will help you to overcome and deal with the obstacles that get in your face, whether it's a demonic pressure from the enemy or whether it's a natural situation you're in through the circumstance of your life. Thankfulness actually gives you power to deal with that. It creates a positive brain chemistry. Robert Louis Stevenson, the author of Treasure Island, he said this: keep your eyes open to your mercies. The man who forgets to be thankful has fallen asleep in life. Great quote. Great quote. The man who forgets to be thankful has fallen asleep in life. Number one, thankfulness keeps anxiety at bay. Number two, thankfulness strengthens our bond of love. Thankfulness strengthens our bond of love. There is nothing more powerful than when you, in the relationships you're part of, appreciate people. Actively thank them. And I deal with so many marriages and relationships. I do marriage coaching. We do Zoom training sessions every single week. And I can tell you one of the biggest challenges when couples hit the wall is they stop thanking each other. They stop having a sense of appreciation for the person that they're with. I see that in families as well. I see children who are angry at their family, who no longer see a benefit, and they lose sight of the blessing. Now, I'm not talking in case where people have been abused or really deeply broken situations, but I'm saying that if you want to stay with a sense of health in your family, a sense of identity, a sense of value that I'm proud to be a part of this family, practice Thanksgiving. Practice Thanksgiving because it actually increases the sense of bondedness to think through, why am I thankful? Why am I thankful for my mum? Yeah. Well, bottom line is I wouldn't be here without my mum. That's definitely guaranteed. Why am I thankful for my dad? Well, he helped mum to bring me into this world. It's like, that's really cool. But there's so many things. And when we slow down long enough to recognize that the people in our world, the difference that they make and what our world would be like if they weren't present, if they were never involved. And so what we sometimes tend to do is see what the lack is, where they could have been better or what I missed out on, rather than actually continually remind myself of the benefit I have because of their presence in my life. Instead of just being now-centered and only thinking of the moment, think back over your journey. Think of the moments. Think of the experiences. Think of what I actually have now and where I am now that is the result of certain people who have allowed me to grow and become part of where I'm at. Learning to thank people is so important. Thanking our spouse, thanking our parents, thanking our leaders in our church, thanking our friends, just to value and appreciate them. You don't have to have an excuse. You don't have to have a birthday or a kind of an anniversary. Just go off the Richter and start thanking people. Be a thanking machine. Be a thanking machine if you want to kind of get it into hardcore. Go after it. Thankfulness strengthens our bond. You know, the New Testament is really just full of thanksgiving towards God and towards the church, towards people. The Apostle Paul, who was one of the most influential leaders in the church and wrote half of the New Testament. He's constantly thanking the church. He's constantly thanking members of the fellowship, constantly looking for reasons to celebrate something that's going on. There was a lot of messy, broken stuff going on, but he chose to zero his focus to where he could build thanksgiving and focus it to celebrate, focus where he could engage people with encouragement and life. And he chose to allow what came out of his mouth as being something lifting and life-giving. In Romans 1, 7 and 8, NIV, example, he says this. Paul says, I thank my God for you all because of your faith. I thank my God for you all because of your faith. Philippians 1, 3, another example. I thank my God every time I remember you. I pray that you pray with joy because of your partnership. Thanking. So many examples, I could go into many of them, but the New Testament letters were expressions of thanks in written form. That's why we have the book, to help and remind us. One of the great keys of the New Testament is to continue to build the culture of thanksgiving. Let's just think about right now this community you're part of. If you want this community to experience revival, I'm talking fair dinkum, God rock up, Holy Ghost, earth-shattering, life-changing revival. How many want that? How many want that? Practice thanksgiving. Allow yourself to be excited and thankful for the people in this room. Allow yourself to be excited about the grace of God that he's worked. When you come to church, you're not there coming just to get something. You're coming to give thanks. You're coming to give to others and encourage them and bless them and build them. And what's beautiful is in this congregation right now, this embryonic congregation that God is going to do miracles in, that is going to continue to grow, that is going to continue to build. The culture of thanksgiving has to be a vibrant passion in the hearts of the people. You won't burn out. You'll stay vibrant. You'll stay alive. You'll stay expectant if that's present in your hearts. William Arthur Ward said this, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like a wrapping a present and not giving it. We actually have to practice and speak thanksgiving out to one another, to those who have blessed us and those who are in our life. Part of the relationship training that I do with people, I talk about this thing called the four horsemen, of the apocalypse. And it's not the four horsemen of the book of Revelation, but it's something that a man by the name of John Gottman took out of the book of Revelation, because the apocalypse means the end. And Gottman researched relationships around the world. He studied thousands of relationships and did surveys and has done all this thing. He runs this thing called the Gottman Institute. And this is what he found when he started to research this. And he called these four things the four horsemen of the apocalypse. In other words, the four horsemen indicating an end of relationship, whether you're in a marriage, whether you're connected to a family, or whether you're in a community, these four horsemen indicated that that relationship will come to an end. You ready? Here they are. Number one, the first horseman is criticism. Regular, constant, ongoing criticism. Number two is contempt, which flows out of criticism. Criticism is like the entry point for the four horsemen, of this negative virus that begins to decay and dissolve relationships and the strength of community. Starts with criticism. And that's why we need to protect what we say and what people say to one another in the house of God. Make sure it's uplifting and edifying and building up. Make sure it's filled with thanksgiving and praise, whether towards God or towards people. Criticism, contempt. The third horseman is defensiveness. Because if I'm being criticized, I don't feel safe. This is not a safe place, whether it's a marriage or a family. If criticism is allowed to flow and then contempt develops, in other words, I'm familiar with you and I don't really care what you feel, the next step is defensiveness, because I'm not safe. So I'm no longer going to share with you who I am or what my life is about. I'm going to live separated. And ultimately, that results in stonewalling. And stonewalling is where you refuse to engage. Refuse to engage the four horsemen. And what happens is, when that takes place, and you can see a little diagram of the four squares, criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling, it results in the end of a relationship. Because people are not wired to live like that. You might think, well, look, we joke around, we criticize each other. I want to tell you, joking around is fun. I love joking around, but joking around can ultimately create a weakness in the framework of your relationships. You've got to protect that. Make sure what comes out of our mouth is building people. But the entry point, as I said, is criticism. Criticism is the main entry point that opens the door. And in place of criticism, we need to intentionally practice thankfulness and appreciation. If you want your relationships to flourish, if you want to become a safe person, whether it's with your spouse or whether it's with your friends or whether it's with your parents, if you want them to open up, or maybe parents with your kids, if you want there to be a sense of safety and connection, begin to thank and appreciate. Look for opportunities to praise. Begin to build that sense. Gottman went on to say that there is this ratio that exists. He can tell within 5 minutes to a 95% accuracy whether a marriage will break down or not. And he said this, every marriage that has a ratio of 5 positive encounters to 1 negative encounter is a marriage that will never break. Where there is a 5-to-1 ratio, that marriage won't break down. That relationship won't break down because it's life-giving. But relationships that have a 1-to-1, 2-to-1, 3-to-1, they are vulnerable because the power of criticism, the power of contempt is so strong and influential and poisonous that actually poisons the efforts that we make. And we need to make sure there is a huge variance, a huge ratio of thanksgiving compared to criticism and so on. Think about that towards God as well. How many opportunities in the day do we have to complain, to be negative, to voice our fears, to voice our sense of lack? We have so many opportunities. As a Christian, we're not meant to live in denial. We're not called to be people of denial who don't acknowledge there are challenges, but we're called to be people of faith. We're people of the Word of God who declare and can see God's potential even in the midst of things that are negative. And so we're meant and we're called by God not to declare the obvious. That's just to state what we see. But God's called us as people of faith to declare what we don't yet see, to actually live with a sense of confidence that the God we serve is enough. The God who we worship is powerful enough, whatever the situation, to turn it, to bring it into divine order and the power of Christ to come forward in our life. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, somebody give me an amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. It's so important that we want our heartbeat to flow. We want our life to vibe. I've got a picture on the bottom of a heart pulse, because a pulsing church is a church that's filled with this sense of thanksgiving. I come into the house of God, I want to give thanks to God. I love Him. I love Him with all my heart. And I don't want to be filled with negativity. And I've got to manage my mouth, because my mouth wants stuff to come out that by the time I get up that lift and in the door, it's like, okay, the music's good, but my attitude, ucks, you know, like S-U-C-K-S, terrible, shocking. It's not good. So God wants us to recognize, number one, that when we give thanks, that we have the power of Christ working in us, the ability of God to function, to flow, and to overcome any challenge that we have. Number one, thankfulness keeps anxiety at bay. Number two, thankfulness strengthens the bond of our love. Does everyone understand what I'm saying with that? Think of a person right now who you're maybe sitting next to, or maybe somebody in your life who maybe you haven't been thinking a lot of how you live towards them. And maybe they're a pain in the butt. Maybe they're difficult to live towards, but there's so many things, even in that, you can be thankful for. You can be thankful for. Think about them. Three things. I want you to think of three things, maybe, that you could say to someone that you're thankful for in their life. Three things that we could intend. So if you were to leave this meeting tonight, one of the things I want to say to everyone is do this. When you leave this fellowship tonight, or maybe even at the end when you're having coffee, Just go up and say to someone, hey, you know what I really love about you, man? I really love ABC. I love that you're a great swimmer, man. I love that. I love that we've known each other for a fair while, actually met each other on a number of occasions. And I love the fact that you swam the English Channel. That's so cool. Is that true? That's true. And further, like, I love the fact you're a nut job, man. That's awesome. Who can do that? There's always something, you know, whether you've got a deep relationship with someone or it's actually fairly shallow, you can choose to be thankful. You can choose to encourage. You can choose with your words to be uplifted. And this is a season that Pneuma Church has got to harness the words that you declare. You've got to harness your words and begin to choose the culture of the house. And I think you already are. I can tell that in the worship. I can tell that in the hunger for God. But I want to encourage you to be intentional with your language and continue to build what God is doing. Amen? Amen? Amen. One more thought. This is my last thought. Thankfulness changes my outlook. Thankfulness is so powerful, it changes the way that I see life. It is involved in the supernatural renewal of my mind. Because, you know, it's easy to become sarcastic and cynical and to let the culture of the world just filter in and everything we see with a negative edge or some cynical thing. We've got to keep our spirit. That sister and I who led us said God's calling us to holiness and purity. You hear, remember that word? Well, purity of heart, simplicity of heart, choosing not to have a double edge on everything, but to keep it simple and to just accept the thoughts of God as they are and bring that with simplicity into people's hearts. Psalm 100 gives us an insight, certainly in coming to the house of God. God says in Psalm 100 verse 4, he says this when you come to worship, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. So don't come before God kind of going, oh God, I wish, I don't know what I wish, I can't think at the moment, but I would just wish. Just come in, just be thankful. And that thankfulness actually lifts your heart. It'll lift you and strengthen you. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Psalm 100 verse 4 in the Message says, enter with the password, thank you. How many IT people? How many sit on their laptop? How many got a password on your phone, on your laptop, on your computer, on everything, on your car door? You know, who've got a password? The password in the house of God is thank you. Thank you. So we start by thanking God for what he's done, but we ultimately begin to thank him for who he is. Thanksgiving is a progressive, intimate experience. Because when you appreciate what someone has done, you then grow to appreciate who they are. Because the expressions of what I do reflect the heart that I have. You understand? And so when we come into the house of God, often we're just thanking God. I thank God, da, 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 da. I met a man I didn't know, do, 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 do. You know, great. He found me when I was, and I found out that I wasn't alone. So we begin to talk about what God's done, but then the ultimate goal is to talk about who he is, his wonder, his beauty, his friendship, his heart of kindness, his majesty. It's awesome. Same with building friendships with people. You've got to celebrate what they do, see what they do. And if you're with someone of the opposite sex, see what they wear. Just a clue, a bit of a hint there for the singles. See what they wear. Hey, that's cool. That's cool. You're all looking at me blankly. Okay, all right. That was just meant to be a bit of a dad joke. But here we go. John Baptiste, hear this. This is a great name. John Baptiste Alphonse Carr. I just put this quote in just because I love that name. You ready? Says this, some people are always grumbling because the roses have thorns. I'm thankful that the thorns have roses. Isn't that cool? Cicero, in the first century, one of the great thought motivators of the first century, said this, a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of all other virtues. This is a brilliant, brilliant statement. A thankful heart is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all other virtues. We all need a thankometer. We all need a thankometer. How's your thankometer today? How many people have you thanked personally today for something? How many people have you engaged and thanked and just valued? Your spouse, your family, your friend. You may have greeted them, but have you thanked them? Have you appreciated them? I can tell you now, the relationships that are rich with thankfulness are the relationships that thrive, that grow, that are empowered, that are passionate, that are intense and flowing over with joy. The Bible tells us to give thanks specifically 52 times. 52 times it makes the statement, give thanks. Isn't that cool? I think that's a reminder. There's 52 weeks in the year that every single week that we serve God and that we live our life, we're reminded that there should be at least one moment, and hopefully each day, but there should be at least some moment in that week where we really go all out to practice giving thanks. Thanks to God for His wonder, His beauty, and thanks to those who we live in our life with. But we can bring our tongue under the harness of the Holy Spirit, and we can retrain our thoughts and our words to be thankful. I want to just share a story as I finish this message. About 3 years ago, we were serving as part of a great pastoral team and leading and serving in all sorts of things. My wife and I were both on that team. And I hit a point where I felt like I was burnt out. I felt like I was, and I don't know if you have the musicians come again at the end, but if the musos are here and they want to just come, that'd be great. I felt like I was hitting a point where I was burnt out. And I thought to myself, I'm not actually that tired. I've had a good break recently, but I feel burnt out. And I felt burnt out because I could no longer feel joy. People would tell me things, you know, for anyone who's had burnout, emotional burnout is this crazy thing where people tell you great things and you react, say, oh, that's awesome, but you feel nothing. And I just constantly felt numb. And I thought, and my wife would speak to me, say things, and I just feel numb. Other people, and I felt like something is seriously wrong. And I wrestled in this season with what I would say was anxiety and mild depression. I felt like I was in a hole. And just a sense of, even though I was serving God and wanted to serve God with all my heart, but I felt like I was losing my way. And I said, God, what's going on? And it was so intense at one stage, I said to my wife, because we were traveling about 40 minutes to an hour every day to go to work and work with our team. And I said to Sue, I said, hey, can you travel in another car with the rest of the team? I'm going to go on my own because I've got to do business with God. I'm not in a good way. I don't know what it is. And so I started traveling and I just started grizzling and moaning to God. I know none of you guys would do that, but I'm grizzling and moaning. I'm struggling. And I just got to the point where I thought, God, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I don't know if I can keep ministering. I'm just feel so lost. Now, I preach the gospel almost every week for the last I don't know how many years. Have seen thousands of people touched by God, hundreds saved, and lives changed. And I have so much to be thankful for. And I remember as I'm driving the car one morning during the week, I felt God say, I want you to thank me. I just heard, and this is where this message came out of. I felt just such a clear word from God, I want you to thank me. And you know when you're feeling depressed and down, guess what's the last thing you want to do? nah, I got nothing to be thankful for. I'm struggling. I just want to be miserable and pour out my poison and just, I'm happy to complain to you, God, right now. I just want to just keep doing that. Yeah, that's why I'm with you on my own, because I want you to fix me. I want you to fix me. I don't want to have to do anything. Just fix me up. Help me. I don't know what's going on. So, and I know, I should know better perhaps or whatever, but this was a lesson I went through and I learned. I felt the voice of the next day again. Nothing changed much. That next day I felt the voice of God again say, I want you to thank me. I want you to thank me. And so I can remember driving the car going, okay, thank you, God, for the day. Thank you, God, that I can drive a car. Thank you, God, for the paddock. I mean, I'm flat. I can't see. I'm just looking around driving and there's a green paddock. Thank you for that paddock. I just said three things that day. And just, you know, because everyone knows preachers give 3 points. You have 3 things. It's all in threes. So I just said it to three things. Three things. And no change. The next day, get in the car, felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to thank me. Got in the car. Thank you, God, for my marriage. Thank you, God, for my kids. Thank you, God, that I've got a healthy body to be able to drive the car. Nothing changed. Next day, I got in the car again. Thank you, God, for living in Australia. Thank you, God, for... I'm thinking of, what am I going to think? I'm trying to think up. I did that for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. What I noticed in the second week, just simply these three simple things I did on my way to work in the morning, three simple statements, I started to feel in the second week literally some sort of pulse of life come back into my heart again. I started to sense the presence of God. And I can remember just started to thank God. I remember it, towards the end of the second week, I said, thank you, God, for your love. I started to feel the love of God. That love that I was born again with, that when I was 12 years of age and first encountered God, and then at 19, where my whole life was turned upside down and or turned right side up and I encountered the love of God. I said, thank you, God, for your love. And I started to feel the love of God again in that, just in the car. I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for my family. And I started to, instead of just an idea in my head, I suddenly realized I feel I'm starting to connect again with the essence of the life that I have in God. And I can remember I just continued that journey until I had like a personal revival. I came out of that depression, that heaviness, that it was like a cloak on my back, and I just couldn't see the wood from the trees. And I think sometimes leaders and people in jobs and roles and the pressure of things, we hit seasons where it's like it's hard to see because of pressure and stress and things that change and things that happen unexpectedly, and things hit us left field. And the enemy comes in and he gives you a right hook in the jaw that you're not ready for, and metaphorically, you understand what I'm saying. He gives you a jab to the ribs and it takes the wind out of you. And then you are conscious of your pain rather than being conscious of the presence of God. And it takes us away from our center. And I just want to say to everyone in this room, your center is built around the idea of the power and the presence of God. For you to be a person who follows Christ and is living a born-again experience that God designed you for, you can be energized by this supernatural principle, by the renewing of your mind and the supernatural energizing power of thanksgiving. It is a weapon in your life. It is a weapon in your mouth. That the moment, just think about the Old Testament when the battle was raging in the time of King Jehoshaphat. What did he do? He put the singers and the musicians out in front to praise and to thank God. This is an army about to take on an